Following someone you cannot see, what will it feel like following someone you cannot see? You are following not by sight, but by sound. I recently read a story about disabled children playing baseball. The writer of the story wrote, and I quote, "It was amazing to watch all the children with disabilities playing ball. Many of the parents would tell the kids when to swing the bat to help them connect with the ball. As one little girl hit the ball, I watched in amazement as her mother ran backwards as fast as she could in front of her daughter, telling her where to run. As I watched, I realized that the runner was blind, but wasn't running by sight, but by sound. What an amazing thing to watch. I watched as she ran at the bases and made it all the way home. Wouldn't it be great if Christine didn't depend on sight, but the direction of the Holy Spirit? If we follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, he will never lead us wrong, but all the way home." I thought that was amazing. Our text this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 to 34. And it begins with Jesus healing two blind men. So if you have your Bible, will you please turn with me in there? Matthew 9:27-34. And it's found on page 966 of the Pew Bible. And this is the powerful word of God. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy upon us, son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were open. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout all the land. And as they were going out, a mute, demon-possessed man was brought to him. After the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds were amazed and were saying, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisee was saying, "He casts out the demons, by the ruler of demons." Let's pray. Father, what will you have us to learn from this passage this morning? Thank you for my time of preparation. Lord, I pray that you will give me clarity and the power to proclaim, and bless your people as they hear, and help us to apply the truths we learned today. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus healing the two blind men. The Lord Jesus had a long day. You remember he started off with his conversation with John's disciples on the subject of fasting. And following that, he performed two miracles. One with the woman with the issue of blood, and raising Jairus' daughter. And the text said, leaving Jairus' home, apparently amid a tumultuous crowd, because people were everywhere wanting to see Jesus. In that process, two blind men sensed his presence and they followed him. The blind men followed Jesus. Now, just imagine these blind men and the difficulty they were having following Jesus. It was not easy for them to follow Jesus, but they did. Apparently, they were asking people. People may be pushing them here and there because of the large crowd, asking people where Jesus was, and they had to listen to every sound that might guide them to Jesus. Yet, they were determined to follow him to the best of their ability. They were determined nothing would hold them back to meet Jesus. And sometimes I wonder how determined are we, how steadfast, unrelenting are we to present our needs to Jesus, how resolute we are in bringing our burdens to Jesus. Do we give up hastily? Do we give up quickly because of stumbling blocks? Or are we determined that, Jesus, I bring my needs to you, I bring my burdens to you? In Isaiah 26:3, the Bible says, the steadfast mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. These blind men were determined. They did not give up, but they followed Jesus. Not only that, they cried out to him. They cried out to Jesus, pleading for mercy. They were crying out, saying to him, have mercy upon us, son of David. And in addressing Jesus as the son of David, they recognized, they were referring to his messianic title, and thereby they were acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah, the long-expected Messiah who was to come. You see, and let me just say, Christmas is coming. Most of the messianic passages you will be hearing about the expected Messiah. But you see here, when the blind man cried out, son of David, have mercy upon us, they were deep down in their heart, I want to believe, acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah who had come. When God created this world, it was perfect. When God created Adam, everything was perfect. In the cool of the garden, God would come and fellowship with men. And God gave men dominion over the earth. Adam was king of the earth. He had the right to rule, to name the animals, to dominate the created order. It was perfect. He was king, and his kingdom was amazing. The kingdom of light, of glory, of wonder and beauty. But Adam sinned. He fell. And so the kingdom was taken over. His dominion was taken over by Satan. And it became the kingdom of darkness. And today, there's sweat, suffering, sorrow, pain, grief, sickness, suffering, aging, conflicts, wars, and all the disorder we find around here. Murder, lying, and ultimately death. But no sooner did Adam fall, did God promise that he will someday restore the kingdom. Someday the dominion will be taken from Satan. Someday the kingdom of darkness will end and the kingdom of light and glory will return by the seed of the woman and the expected Messiah who will come from the line of David. So when these men were crying out, son of David, were more than a cry. they were recognizing that this is it. The Messiah has appeared. The Son of David. So they follow him, crying out. But something happened, friends. As we read the passage, maybe you may have recognized that. Jesus, the compassionate Jesus, apparently, hearing the cries of these men in desperation, wanting their sight, Jesus passed them by. Can you imagine? He didn't stop to address them. Why? Why would Jesus pass these men by? Meaning answers. Some say he didn't want to heed them in the public so that the Pharisee, there will be some insurrection. Some say he didn't want to make a big show of heeding this man. But I want to believe that Jesus, the main reason Jesus passed these men by was to stretch their faith, to help them increase their faith. And the reason is that if they really believe that Jesus is the Messiah, if they really believe that Jesus could heal them, they will continue to follow him. And sure enough, they did. They followed him all the way into the house that Jesus went into. And you see, when they entered the house, they confirmed their faith, that they believed in him. Look at verse 28. When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this thing? To really open your eyes, to heal you?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." Jesus touched their eyes. Jesus touched their eyes in response to their faith. The Bible said their eyes were open. They believe. They believe. Faith does not guarantee healing for every individual. Yet, we know that multitudes have been healed. That multitudes have not been healed because they lack faith. These men simply confirm their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes I think Christ asks you, whatever you're going through, do you believe that I can do this for you? Do you believe? Now here, Christ is not asking, in this case, in proportion to their faith. Because sometimes we feel in proportion to our faith, so we are blessed. But here, Jesus is saying, since you believe, sometimes proportion can come when it comes to gifts, because the Holy Spirit gave out gifts in proportion to our faith. But in this case, Jesus is saying, since you really believe in me, have your healing. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of all that diligently seek him. One night, a horse caught on fire, ablaze, and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground and below, stretched his arms, calling to his son, "Just jump. Jump, I will catch you." He knew the boy had to jump to save his life. All the boy could see, however, was flame, fire, dark, black smoke. And as you can imagine, he was afraid to leave the roof. His father kept pleading, yelling to him, "Jump, I will catch you." But the boy protested, "Daddy, I can't see you." The father replied, "But I can see you. And that's all that matters. I can see you." Friends, God sees all that you're going through and all that I'm going through. And you want us to trust him. God sees us no matter the situation. Family crisis, God sees. Financial crisis, God sees. Problem with children, God is seeing everything that we're going through. And he's saying, just trust me. Just trust me. Health issues, just trust me. Someone, a friend of ours, had a baby recently, and we rejoiced. And no sooner than that, she lost her job. Her husband was not meaningfully employed, and things were just rough. Then on top of that, we just caught her last week that she got a bill in the mail, water bill, worth $4,000. I said, how? She said there was a pipe that got something burst or something like that, and she called the people, and she forgot because the pipe was on the ground. But she noticed that the bill was increasingly going up. And I said, wow. All you got to do is just plead with them. And all we can do is just pray with you. Happy for a new baby. But yet, they are out of water right now. But God sees that. God sees our problem. And he's asking us to trust him. The two blind men obviously could not see, but they believed the one who saw them and who was able to cure them. They believed in Jesus, and their faith was rewarded by Jesus. How much are you trusting God? Yeah, it's easy for us to say, I trust God, I'm a Christian. When things get difficult, sometimes we tend to stumble in our faith. These men were healed, and they rejoiced in their healing. They rejoiced in their healing. They were excited about their healing. Their faith was rewarded. Jesus healed them. However, in their excitement, they disobeyed Jesus. Jesus warned them sternly, don't tell this thing to anybody. But as soon as they got out in their excitement, they spread the news. They spread the news. And I think sometimes we are guilty of this. Our prayer, we get answers to our prayers. Our prayer requests an answer. And God is glorified, but sometimes we live in disobedience to his will, even though we receive his blessing. And I think we need to be obedient even as we are blessed. So here we see quickly the application from here is that Jesus hears our cries even if it appears that he's not listening. Sometimes he wants to strengthen our faith. He wants us to hang on, to hold on to him and not to lose faith. And so in the process, he's silent. But it doesn't mean he's not listening. But he wants us to keep pressing on, holding on to him. He's helping us to increase our faith and our focus on him. In Psalm 25:2, David said, oh my God, I trust in you. And in verse 15, he says, my eyes are continually on the Lord. Faith and focus on God, my friend, is what we need. And not distraction. Physical handicaps are no barrier to spiritual insight. Spiritual eyes are important. Spiritual sight is important. Physical sight is more important. The psalmist prayed, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things from your Lord. And in Acts 16, 18, the Lord met Paul on the road to Damascus. Listen to what the Lord told him. I am sending you to open their eyes, not physical eyes, spiritual eyes. Jews and Gentiles, I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by me. The question for us today is your spiritual eyes. Have your spiritual eyes been opened? Have you received forgiveness of your sins? Are you saved? Because if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you are still spiritually blind. You can pray this morning to ask Christ to save you. Lord, come into my life and give me a new life, eternal life. I believe the Bible says, if I confess my mouth that you are Lord, believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, I will be saved. I pray this morning that all of us sitting here, our eyes have been opened spiritually because we have received Jesus Christ in our lives. Healing of the mute, demon-possessed man. Look at verse 32 to 34 quickly. As they were going out, a mute, demon-possessed man was brought to him. After the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds were amazed and were saying, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. But the Pharisees were saying, he cast out demons by the ruler of demons. Why do you think the crowd was saying, nothing like this has happened in Israel before? And that's the truth. The rabbis believed that demon possession was incurable. They believed in the hierarchy of demons, that the demon who inhabits the man was put there by a ruler. They got a ruler, they got principality and power. So when a demon possesses a man, he's sent there by a higher demon. And the demon only knows the name of the demon inhabited. Or he would tell the demon who inhabits the person, never, 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 never call your name. Because it is only by knowing the name of the demon that he can be cast out. You remember in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus saw the demoniac? Jesus said, come all of him. And he started to plead with Jesus. And finally Jesus asked him, what is your name? When he called his name Legion, right away, he had to come out because his name was exposed. That's what these people believe. And so they believe that this demon-possessed man could never be cured, but now Jesus had cured him. Amen? Jesus has power over the demonic forces. The man was set free. He spoke. Recently, someone asked me, Pastor, I believe sometimes my life is stuck. I can't move. I see things happening to me. Do you think there are generational causes for my life? Maybe my parents did some things way back and now it's caught up with me? I don't see my way through. Are there generational causes? And I asked them, do you truly believe that Jesus Christ is in your, has saved you? They say, yeah, but things are difficult. And I think there may be some generational issues. And I said, no, The devil is just trying to confuse you. Jesus has power over the demons. So take authority in the name of Jesus and stand your ground. Stand your ground. Jesus has power over the demonic forces. The crowd responds to the man healing. They were amazed. They said, nothing like that happened in Israel. Great miracles are taking place, but nothing like this before. So it showed not only the complete authority of Jesus over demons, but also showed that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were blind. They were blind. They were saying, he cast out demons by the ruler of demons. What a poor reasoning. Nothing can be far from the truth. While the crowd were amazed, the authority of Jesus over Satan and demons, the Pharisees were rejecting Jesus and attributing his work to the power of Satan. Satan will never cast out demons because they belong to him. They are his forces. Only Jesus can do that. Because he has power and authority over Satan, demons will have to flee. So you see, the devil is defeated. The devil is defeated. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that Satan blinds the eyes of people spiritually. The God of this world has blinded unbelievers so that they cannot see. But we who have been set free, we know Satan has no power over us. Satan has no power over a child of God who has been washed by the blood of Jesus. That's the lesson from here. Stop telling me demons, demons, demons. When you are a child of God, washed by the blood of the Lamb, you have been set free. The devil is defeated. Remind yourself that every day. Now, theologians have a way of encouraging us. And this is what I see from one writer. They have a way of illustrating the triumph of Christ that benefits or even presently, the victory of Christ. They say, imagine a city on a siege. The enemy surrounds the city and would not let anyone in or anything in or out to leave. Supplies are running out, and the citizens are fearful. But in the dark of the night, a spy sneaks through the enemy lines. He has rushed to the city to tell the people that in another place, the main enemy force has been defeated. The leaders have already surrendered. The people do not need to be afraid. It is only a matter of time until the besieging troops receive the news and lay down their weapons. Similarly, we may seem now to be surrounded by forces of evil, disease, injustice, oppression, death, but the enemy has actually been defeated at Calvary. Things are not the way they seem to be. It is only a matter of time until it becomes clear to all that the battle is already over. Friends, the victory is won. Take courage. Stand in your position in Christ. And I like the prayer of Paul. I want to close with that. Prayer of Paul in Ephesians 1:18 and follow. This prayer is for you. This prayer is for me as we leave. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. The Bible says Jesus destroyed principalities and powers, and he made a public show of them. Way back, the enemy forces, when they are defeated, they made them to walk in the line, parade, and the people rejoicing over them because they are defeated, they are helpless. And that's what happened in the spirit realm. When Christ rose from the grave, he made a public show of all the demonic forces, and they are powerless. We have the victory in Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your amazing power was displayed. And the people, in amazement, said nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. He has become the Messiah. The anointed one has appeared. Things will never be the same. Lord, you will take back the kingdom. When you come again, Father, the demons and the principalities and power will be marching to hellfire while your people will rejoice and be taken with you in glory. We thank you. We thank you for the victory. In Jesus' name, amen.